Well, good morning. I want to welcome everybody here this morning. It's been real good to be here. Appreciate that, Matt. Something you do very well at. You might think you aren't that good at leading songs, but you're really good at doing heartfelt things, and I appreciate that. So, this week, I really struggled knowing what to share this morning. It's one of those things in the past I've done a lot of preaching through books, and I really prefer that because you don't have to wonder as much. What are you supposed to talk about? And I'll go back there again eventually, but I just didn't feel like it was quite time yet. And so yesterday, I finally, when something kind of came to me, and I realized, yeah, I think this is the way I need to go. Yeah, it was kind of nice when that finally happened. But it's going to be pretty simple this morning. It's not going to be very complicated. I'm going to do quite a bit of reading. it actually started with one of the boys wanted me to read a book to him yesterday. And it's a little kid's Bible. And he brought it to me, and I sat down, and I read the story of the wise man and the foolish man. And all of a sudden, I was like, this is what you're supposed to talk about. So we're going to read, or I'm going to read, starting out in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. And this is very simply the story of the wise man, the foolish man. Verse 24, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Very short little simple passage, but what I'm going to do... First, I'm going to go through a little bit of the cultural context of what this idea of building on sand versus building on a rock actually means. I don't know about some of you. I know Chris is like this. I'm sure there's a few others of you. Do you ever read little children's Bible stories, and especially Noah's Ark, and you see this cartoonized version of Noah's Ark? Anyway, we read these things, and I'm one of those that sees these kind of things, and I'm like, well, that's not how it is. Maybe, probably doesn't matter in some cases. Some cases it does, but in this instance, the wise man, the foolish man, the pictures are of a guy building his house on the beach, and then the other one is up on the rocks. Well, that's not exactly the visual that the people that Jesus was talking to would have gotten. They were not a coastland people right there. I mean, they obviously had the Sea of Galilee, but they didn't have the ocean right close to them. Anyways, but they are okay in our land around here. We aren't very familiar with desert imagery. It's not. We're not anywhere close to being a desert. You know, a lot of us have been, we've been to places where it's desert. You know, you get out west, especially the southwest, it's desert. And there in Israel, they were very much of a kind of a desert dwelling people, to where there's seasonal rains. Here we don't really have seasonal rains. Little bit, but not nearly like it is in desert lands. But this imagery of the sand versus the rock in that cultural context very likely was a whole lot more about what they called a wadi. Anybody, you've probably heard the name wadi before. Who's heard me say that? I've spoken about it. I guess if you don't remember, that means I haven't made it very interesting. Sorry about that. So a wadi is a dry riverbed. So in desert places, you see them quite a bit. You see where there has been a river, or there was a river at one time, but it's dry. And what happens is, during the rainy season, or when a big rain comes, sometimes it doesn't even have to rain right there, but it'll rain up in the mountains, and they have flash flooding in these dry riverbeds. if you look at the story of the Exodus, if you look at where they went down to the Red Sea, they were traveling in a wadi down to the Red Sea. They were traveling in a dry riverbed. And if some of you might have seen some of the documentaries where people are trying to figure out, you know, where did the Exodus take place and all this. And it makes perfect sense. Or I always wondered, how can the cloud be, you know, the cloud moved around behind them, and then it was dark for the Egyptians and it was light for the children of Israel. And I always thought, well, why didn't they just go out around it, you know? Well, the way it was, they were in a dry riverbed in a canyon, basically. And that's why, literally, you couldn't go around. It was one way in, one way out, and that's how they got to the Red Sea. Anyway, that's kind of beside the point. But it's a dry riverbed where a river used to flow down to the Red Sea. And in times when you get a lot of rain, it's very rocky. There's not a lot of water-holding capabilities, and so you have flash floods. So these dry riverbeds or wadis were very common, still are, in places in desert areas. And there's often, even though it's a dry riverbed, there's still probably more moisture there than in a lot of places up on the higher rocky places. And so it's places where, you know, there's a little bit of feed for animals and stuff. Shepherds will take their animals down there into the wadis. And there's obviously sand down there, because, you know, that's, you know, over the years, you have rushing floods come down through there. They bring sediment, they break rocks up, and you have sand. That's where a lot of sand would have come from. And it could go for years and years and years before, and there would be no, like, big flood. Like, it would rain, but it took a pretty big rain, especially up in the mountains, to create these flash floods. And they were not at all, what do you call it? It was very sporadic when this would happen. And so there'd be years at a time where there wouldn't be one of these floods. And especially for younger people, they might never have seen this when a big flash flood came through. And so they don't really get the danger of it. And then there's older people who, you know, they remember back 15 years ago, 20, 30 years ago, there was a massive flash flood that came down through here. And there's still people today that this happens to, is you kind of get lulled to sleep by thinking, oh, it's fine, I'm down here, it's not raining. But it's raining up in the mountains, and there will be a flash flood that comes through and wipes people out. And it just kind of comes out of the blue, they're not expecting it. So I say all that to say that's more of the imagery that this would be. So it's the difference between building your house up out of the dry riverbed or building your house right down in the wadi where, yeah, there might be a little easier access to some feed for your animals and stuff like that. Probably if you wanted to dig a well, you didn't have to dig as deep. And so that was kind of the difference. And he's saying, you know, this is what happens. Like, this is coming. The storm, something will come eventually. And depending on where your house is built, it's going to wipe it out. So that's kind of a very simple version of the cultural backdrop. However, the house is not even the main point of this passage. Something we often miss. And all of us know the song, you know, the wise man built his house upon the rock. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. What's the third verse we usually sing? So build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. Like I said, I'm one of those, I pick out songs, I pick out books that aren't quite accurate, and it just kind of annoys me a little. The statement, build your life on Lord Jesus Christ, is absolutely a true statement, and it's a good statement. But that's not the story of the wise man, the foolish man. That's for other things. Jesus here is saying It's pretty simple. He said, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them, hear and do, will be, that's like building your house on the rock. And on the opposite side, if you hear these things of mine that I say and you don't do them, you're building your house on the sand. Remember, it's a given that the storm will come. There will be a storm that comes. And depending on where you have built your house, it's either going to stand or it's going to be wiped away. So, what are these sayings of mine? You know, Jesus here says, everyone then who hears these words of mine, okay, what are his words? I'm going to do quite a bit of reading. This statement comes, or his little thing of the wise man, the foolish man, is at the very end of the Sermon on the Mount. And so I think it's pretty safe to say what Jesus is saying, all these things that I just taught you, this is really important. And if you hear these things that I said and you do them, you will build your house on a place that will stand firm when the storms come. If you hear all these things that I just told you and you don't do them, your house won't stand when the storm comes. Now, this is obviously not talking about how do you enter the kingdom of God. This is not a thing of, oh, well, I'm an unbeliever. I'm going to do all these things and I'm going to be good. Not necessarily. This is talking about, especially, it creates a way of life. Even if an unbeliever would read these and say, okay, well, I'm going to start doing these things, I would dare say it won't be long before he says, you know what? There's something to this Jesus guy. And then they will surrender, you know, they come to a place where they surrender their life. They enter the kingdom. Anyway, that's beside the point. I'm going to go now, and I'm actually just going to read the whole thing, starting in Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to make a few comments as we go, but mostly I'm just going to read it. And this is one of those things, there's many, many different subjects that Jesus is hitting here. And they're going to apply slightly differently to each one of you. Some of you, one part, you'll be like, yeah, that's me. I need to work on this. Other parts, be like, yeah, that's me. And I'm definitely, there's plenty of parts in here that I have issues with. I'm not standing up here telling you that I do all these things very well. But this is simply what Jesus is saying. This is how to prepare yourself so that when the storm comes, you will be able to stand firm. So Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to start in verse 2. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God, or the house of God is another translation. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right hand causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespass, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespass, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So, if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Judge not, that you be not judged, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, Let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If then you, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against it, and beat against that house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it. Really doesn't need a whole lot of explaining, really. It's pretty simple. It's pretty straightforward. I am going to just highlight at least a couple things. In chapter 5, the turn the other cheek passage, I remember a number of years ago when Marcus was at church camp with us and he preached for us. He preached about that passage, and he said something that really kind of impacted me. And I want to, Johnny, you want to come up here real quick? So in that part, it says, talks about, he who strikes you on the right cheek, turn him the other also. Okay, so if I'm standing here like this, where's Johnny's right cheek? Okay, it's over here. See, usually you just kind of breathe through that and you say, oh, somebody waxes his own palate. However, if I'm here and I want to hit Johnny, where am I going to hit him? Left side. That's basically the side where, you know, that's a fight, or that's where equals would hit each other. We're not exactly fighting people. But they're people, I guess, that grew up in a place, like certain parts of town where you see fighting a lot, and maybe they don't know this. You can understand this a little bit more, but so this is a fight. This is an insult. In order for me to hit him on the right cheek, I have to use the back of my hand. Because generally people are right handers. It's like that. And that's kind of like the same idea of almost like spitting on a person. Like it's what happened in Jesus' time period. That's what would have happened from a master to say a slave. A master would not have hit a slave like this. Because it's kind of, they're not equal. A master would just slave like this. And it's like, it's just an insult, basically saying you are nothing. And so standing there and turning the other cheek is not necessarily just, you know, shying away from confrontation. It's literally telling them, I'm not accepting your insult. Like, I don't know all the ramifications of it. I don't remember what all Marcus talked about, but it just really impacted me that the right cheek is the backhand slap, and it's an insult. So when someone treats you that way,
there's a couple, three different sections there that are somewhat similar. It's the giving and the praying and the fasting. talks about doing these things in secret and not for the praise of men. I don't think it's the same thing as Daniel was doing when he opened his window and, you know, prayed to God. You know, because he could have went in the closet and done it in secret and nobody would have known. I think it's a little different than that. It's simply a thing of don't do religious things in order to be praised by other people. Because if you do that, there's nothing for you. Like, there's no reward for that. Verse 12 of chapter 7 is what we would all know as the golden rule. You know, do unto others as they would, as do it. So whatever you wish others to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. That's the whole point. That's everything. It's everything tied together. I think that's pretty much where I'm going to stop. It was a challenge to me. I want to pass it on to all of us. I think there's a storm coming, and I want to have a house that lasts through the storm. I think all of you want to have a house that lasts through the storm. And Jesus laid it out pretty simply, you know, how to do that. He created everything. He knows everything. I'd say he probably knows what it takes to weather the storm. So just want to encourage all of us in that. It's actually very uncomplicated. If we take Jesus at face value, hear these words of mine and do them, and in so doing, you will build your house on the rock. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for giving us this. And Lord, we do confess before you that we fall short many times. But Lord, by your grace, we ask that you would give us the grace and the strength to just take these things at face value and to put them into practice. And in so doing, we will found our house. We will found our life. We will found our families in a place that will weather the storm when it comes. Just thank you so much for each one that's here. Ask that as we go this week, like Johnny talked about in devotions, as we all go our separate ways, that we're walking into wherever we are holding that bright torch, so that people see by the way we respond, especially right now, that it feels like the world's getting darker, and as the world gets darker, those lights that we hold up are going to shine brighter and brighter. And not giving in to fear, not being even surprised when crazy things happen, but to be able to just face these things with confidence. That's one of those good works that people will see and will bring glory to our Father who is in heaven. So I ask that as those things happen, that we could all be those torches, that people could see our good works and glorify our Father, not us, but glorify our Father who is in heaven. Let's go with each one of us as we go. In your name I pray, amen.